This recording is from the ACA World Convention that was held virtually in May of 2021. The ACA World Service Organization is grateful to all who contributed to making this convention happen, as well as to all who participated. ACA is an anonymous program. Please respect the anonymity of those that participated in the event. To learn more about the ACA Fellowship, please visit us online at adultchildren.org, where you can find information for newcomers, as well as free literature for download. Information about doing service in the ACA Fellowship can be found at acawso.org and acawsoec.org. To purchase literature or to make a Seventh Tradition contribution, please go to shop.adultchildren.org. We hope you enjoy the following recording from the 6th Annual World Convention, Global Recovery, in May 2021.
Welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and a warm welcome to our ACA community all around the globe on the 6th Annual ACA World Convention and our second fully online one. While the pandemic continues to be a challenging time for many of us, we see how events like this that bring us together, and for that we are grateful for our ACA recovery. This is the largest adult child meeting in the world, connecting our ACA members, our family of the heart, all around the planet to heal together as one unified fellowship. This convention is being hosted by the ACA World Services Organization, and our theme this year is Global Recovery. This year, we have 27 sessions running over 30 hours around the clock and around the world. Next. My name is Sue V, adult, grateful adult child. I am your moderator, and I'm also the chair of Global Members from Toronto, Canada. And I'm also a newly appointed trustee of the WSO board. And this session is the Australia and New Zealand ACA Global Panel. Next, anonymity. Please be sure to rename yourself in the participant screen to show only your first name. Oh, on a webinar, we're going to take that off because you can't rename yourself, so don't worry about that part. Please remember our spiritual principle of anonymity at this meeting is being broadcast around the world and also will be recorded on audio and distributed later. We therefore ask you to not record any audio, video, or pictures of the AWC. We also ask that you do not share the link to this conference. Each member should request their own access to the AWC. This is so they can acknowledge our commitment to trying to protect the personal anonymity of AWC attendees. Meeting safety. During the meeting, only the active speakers will be unmuted. Video, microphone, and chat will be generally disabled for all viewers. This is to ensure a safe listening experience for us all. Some meetings may ask for sharing or for volunteers to do a reading. Well, we won't be requesting that right now, but we will be requesting questions later. And when we do, use the raise hand feature in the participants' screen at that time. And you will be unmuted by our Megan, our tech host, when it's your turn to speak. The chat feature could be open for viewers to post questions or otherwise interact in the meeting. But in this webinar, we have a special Q&A that you'll see at the bottom of your screen. And don't hesitate to put your questions and comments there, and we will do our best to answer them as fast as we can. Please remember, what you hear at this meeting should remain at the meeting. We do not talk about another person's story or experience to other people. Please respect the anonymity of all those who share with us today. And we don't crosstalk during the sharing time. Crosstalk means interrupting, referring to, or commenting on what another person has said during the meeting. We also don't distract from the person sharing. Distracting means doing anything other than paying full attention to the person speaking in an online meeting. This also includes background noise, which can happen if we're not muted or if the video is switched on and there's activity going on around you. Next. We meet to share the experience we had as children growing up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional home. That experience infected us then and affects us today. By practicing the 12 steps, by focusing on the solution, and by accepting a higher power of our understanding, we find freedom from the effects of alcoholism and other family dysfunction. We identify with the problem and learn to live in the solution, one day at a time. I have asked Oriana to lead us in the Serenity Prayer, and then we will do the Serenity Prayer for everyone. Megan, can you unmute? Can you unmute? Oriana, can you unmute yourself? Or Megan can do that, and you can do it first, and then we'll do it all together.
Thank you, Sue. To a God of your understanding, God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me.
Thank you. Megan, can you unmute everyone in our audience? And I would like us all to say the ACA Serenity Prayer in whatever language and whatever form that calls our hearts. So are we ready, Megan? Okay. Oriana, do you want to lead us again? And everyone will join in.
To a God of your understanding, God, grant me the serenity to accept the people.
And the wisdom to know that one is me.
All right. Sorry about that. We had a technical glitch. Progress, not perfection. It's all good. Thank you. Next slide. And Megan, you can make sure everyone's muted again, except for the co-host. And if the co-host get muted, just unmute yourself. You're able to do that. I've asked Tim to read the laundry list. Tim, would you like to unmute and read the laundry list, please?
The laundry list. One, we became isolated and afraid of people and authority figures. Two, we became approval seekers and lost our identity in the process. Three, we're frightened of angry people and any personal criticism. Four, we either become alcoholics, marry them, or both, or find another compulsive personality, such as a workaholic, to fill our sick abandonment needs. Five, we live life from the viewpoint of victims, and we're attracted by that weakness in our love and friendship relationships. Six, we have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility, and it is easier for us to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. This enables us not to look too closely at our own faults, etc. Seven, we get guilt feelings when we stand up for ourselves instead of giving in to others. Eight, we became addicted to excitement. Nine, we confuse love and pity and tend to love people we can pity and rescue. 10, we've stuffed our feelings from our traumatic childhoods and have lost the ability to feel or express our feelings because it hurts so much, denial. 11, we judge ourselves harshly and have a low sense of self-esteem. 12, we're dependent personalities who are terrified of abandonment and will do anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to experience painful abandonment feelings, which we received from living with sick people who were never there emotionally for us. 13, alcoholism is a family disease, and we became para-alcoholics who took on the characteristics of that disease, even though we did not pick up the drink. 14, para-alcoholics are reactors rather than actors.
Thank you, Tim. And I've asked Oriana to read the solution. Oriana?
The solution. The solution is to become your own loving parent. As ACA becomes a safe place for you, you will find freedom to express all the hurts and fears that you have kept inside and to free yourself from the shame and the blame that are carryovers from the past. You will become an adult who is imprisoned no longer by childhood reactions. You will recover the child within you, learning to love and accept yourself. The healing begins when we risk being out of isolation. Feelings and buried memories will return. By gradually releasing the burden on unexpressed grief, we slowly move out of the past. We learn to reparent ourselves with gentleness, humour, love and respect. This process allows us to see our biological parents as the instruments of our existence. Our actual parent is a higher power whom some of us choose to call God. Although we had alcoholic or dysfunctional parents, our higher power gave us the 12 steps of recovery. This is the action and work that heals us. We use the steps, we use the meetings, we use the telephone. We share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. We learn to restructure our sick thinking one day at a time. When we release our parents from responsibility for our actions today, we become free to make helpful decisions as actors, not reactors. We progress from hurting to healing to helping. We awaken to a sense of wholeness we never knew was possible. By attending these meetings on a regular basis, you will come to see parental alcoholism or family dysfunction for what it is, a disease that infected you as a child and continues to affect you as an adult. You will learn to keep the focus on yourself in the here and now. You will take responsibility for your own life and supply your own parenting. You will not do this alone. Look around you and you will see others who know how you feel. We will love and encourage you no matter what. We ask you to accept us just as we accept you. This is a spiritual program based on action coming from love. We are sure that as the love grows inside you, you will see beautiful changes in all your relationships, especially with God, yourself, and your parents.
Thank you, Oriana. You may have related to our readings, even if there was no apparent alcoholism or addiction in your home. This is common because dysfunction can occur in a family without the presence of addiction. We welcome you. In the beginning, many of us could not recognize or accept that some of our current attitudes or behaviors result from experience related to alcoholism or dysfunction in our childhood. We behave as adult children, which means we bring self-doubt and fear learned in childhood to our adult interactions. By attending meetings regularly and actively working the ACA program, we come to know and begin to act as our true selves. What you hear at this meeting should remain at this meeting. We do not talk about another person's story or experiences to other people. Please respect the anonymity of all those who share with us today. Today, we're going to do the Australia and New Zealand global panel, and I am so excited. My name is Sue V, and as I said, I'm a grateful adult child, even more grateful, from Toronto, Canada. I'm the chair of Global Members Committee, and I'm a new member of the WSO board. The Global Members Committee provides support to ACA fellowships outside of the US, Canada, and Europe in their efforts to be self-supporting as they grow, facilitating universal inclusiveness, accessibility, and affordability of literature and ACA recovery resources as part of our Tradition 5, carrying the ACA message. We honor Tradition 4 for all our countries we support. Each group is autonomous. We partner with various committees in WSO and with our fellowships around the world to unify our ACA recovery resources. We are pleased to be sponsoring 6 workshops at this 2021 AWC. It is my honor and pleasure to introduce this wonderful, awesome Global AWC panel, which is about our ACA fellowship in Australia and New Zealand. I'll just start by qualifying myself for a minute or two on my personal recovery and service. And I would say to you, I came into ACA about 11 years ago now, and I came in a broken woman without much hope, and I couldn't understand why I kept going to a place of despair like my childhood. And finally, I found ACA, came in. And I can tell you today, after working the steps, the laundry lists, which are like my inner children, reparenting, doing service, which I find is so important for my ACA recovery. I get lots of recovery by doing my service by the heart. I can tell you I'm a woman now with hope. And I can't tell you I'm completely whole, but I can tell you I'm well on my way becoming whole. And so I'm a big believer in ACA. It's changed my life. It's changed my relationships. And I want to introduce, next slide, if you would. Thank you, Megan. I would like to now to hear from our four members in these countries. We're going to take the slide down in a minute, and we're going to hear about their ACA recovery journey and how their fellowship has been evolving in service. And I would say this about Australia and New Zealand. They've been around a while. They could teach us a few things around the world. And I'm looking forward, and I've already started hearing a whole bunch of things. And I'm looking forward to sharing that around the world with all of you tonight, today, this morning, this afternoon, and at other times. So I'd like to just start with Monique. And I'm going to just, I have that. So Monique, I'm going to ask for you to start. You're welcome to put your questions in our Q&A or in the chat. We're not going to do live questions right now, but we'll let you know when we're ready. And Monique's going to go first. And so Megan, if you could take down, yes, we like to see people. And Megan, do you know how to spotlight Monique? If you don't, I can do it. But if you do, that would be great.
No, sorry.
No worries. I will spotlight Monique, and then we'll spotlight each person as they're going to be talking. So Monique, here you go. And I know that you and the team have worked on your timing, so I'm going to let you guys run this part of it. So
okay. Thank you very much, Sue. Thank you very much, Sue. My name is Monique, and I'm an adult child. Firstly, I identify as an Aboriginal woman, an original person of this country, Australia. My ancestors come from Tasmania and New South Wales. I'm a Wiradjuri woman and Lost Nation from Tasmania. I want to welcome you to the heart of Australia. And I'd also like to acknowledge the country that I stand on and reside here, the Gumbungya Mob Nation. They're the original caretakers of the country, the area in Australia, the land in which I'm residing here now. So I just want to acknowledge them as First Nations. Just a little bit about myself. I don't want to get too much into my story. I'd rather talk about the service side, which I just love. I was the eldest, not only of three girls in my family, I was the eldest of the whole generation of mixed Aboriginal and Irish, Catholic, English, Welsh, Scottish. So I've had my DNA tested, and I'm basically that Aboriginal and English, Irish, Scottish and Welsh. My grandfather, he was dark, very dark, and he went to war and came back chronic alcoholic. He conceived my father on a break from war, and then said to my nana that my dad wasn't his son, or couldn't be sure, but my dad grew to be the spit out of his father. My father grew up with no shoes on his feet and no money, and was very aware of that fact. And when he married up to my mother, an Irish Catholic woman, he denied his heritage. And I knew my heritage. I knew within my Aboriginal heritage, because I was so connected to the earth. My mother, when they got married, my parents, my mother stopped going to church, and my father became a Catholic and took us three girls to church. And I had that Irish Catholic drummed into me. I read the Bible by seven. I'd already become an adult child by then. I'd been shamed every day because my father, not wanting to become an alcoholic, He didn't drink for the first 11 years of my life. I don't remember alcohol in my family in the first 11 years of my life, except for my granddad. But my father was a rager, and a shamer and a blamer and an angry man, and his emotions controlled the whole house. As the eldest daughter and probably quite a strong nature, I stood up to him, and that caused a lot of chaos in the house. I got sent to boarding school at 13 years of age. So I was already an adult child. I had food addiction on board. We used to have food eating contests at boarding school. So, you know, I was already off in addiction. I was smoking cigarettes. I was drinking. I ended up getting kicked out of boarding school and I ended up leaving home at 16 years of age. At 16 years of age, I was renting and I wandered off with a person up to a red light district here in Australia, and I ended up being nabbed by two police officers and raped. And, you know, I didn't know at the time, but I know now that that was ancestral. That wasn't me. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but that was ancestral. And there's a lot of things that have happened to me that shouldn't have happened to me, but I'm very aware that they probably happened to my ancestors, knowing the history of this country. You know, but I'd left home. I couldn't stay at home anymore. And I was independent. I was the oldest child. I knew how to look after everybody. I knew how to do business because I'd been answering the business phone at home. It was militaristic, as well as para-alcoholism. At 17, I was still seeking and I started studying astrology and the New Age. By 23, my family put me in AA and said that I was the alcoholic. I had the problem. They were functioning alcoholics. They could get up and go to work in the morning. I had the problem, and each one would take turns to come and sit with me at an AA meeting. I struggled with my sobriety and getting clean, because drugs was another issue, as well as gambling, work, religion, geographicals, you know, weed, alcohol, cigarettes, whatever. I was very, very, very good at stuffing down my feelings, because that's all I knew, was to stuff my feelings down. So I was a very lost soul. I was going, you know, like a pinball machine, getting bumped here, there, everywhere, you know, and having no idea what's going on. I had no idea why my life had just was a series of drama, you know, but I'd taken it all on, I'd say, being the eldest. So I attempted sobriety, and I attempted sobriety for 30 years until I came to ACA. The most sobriety I'd gotten up was 7 years. I got a couple of 1 years up. I got 3 years up. You know, I never stopped trying. The last drink I had, the court system here was going to throw me in jail for 12 months. And by the grace of God, truly by magic, I'm talking magic, I got moved from one courtroom to another room, and I wasn't sent to jail. But however, I'd already found ACA. I'd found my answer. And I went to a face-to-face meeting here in my local town. I heard exactly what I needed to hear. The literature was my story. I went, oh, wow. What I did know, because of the years and years in 12-step recovery, I did learn some things. I did learn, you know, to stick with the strength. I learned that I needed to keep coming back. I knew that it wasn't going to happen overnight. And I knew what dysfunctional looked like as well. And I knew what chaos looked like, because I'd been homeless for 2 years. So just prior to coming to ACA, I lived from lounge to lounge. I couldn't even rent a place anymore. Previous to that, I had a company with, 12 staff, single mother, volunteering here, there and everywhere. I'd become a pastor. I'd been to Bible college for a year. I'd been to acting school for 3 years. I'd done certificate 4 in life coaching. You know, I had come into this world with a lot of gifts, but unfortunately, being an adult child, I had no self-esteem. In fact, I hated myself. I found the ACA room here, but it was very unwell. And as it is now, you know, it got very ugly. And higher power said to me, this isn't for you. You need to find healthy ACA. And I did. I joined a phone meeting on a Wednesday with Brisbane. Then I set up a teleconference phone meeting for Saturday mornings. And that's still running today, nearly 3.5 years. I moved it over to the New Zealand Zoom. So I found another meeting, New Zealand, before the Zoom, New Zealand Skype. And we decided to go to Zoom. And I heard recovery in that New Zealand Monday night Skype meeting. There was one meeting and then a Wednesday meeting I could do online. And I realised when we moved over to Zoom, this is 3 years ago, way before COVID, we never used cameras. We just used to speak without cameras. It was very focused. And I realised if I was going to get this, if I was going to heal, I needed to be doing it every day. One meeting, two meetings were not enough because I had to live in my head. I was so full of fear. I was actually living in the basement downstairs from where I am now. I'm in the penthouse house now. I got moved up last year by grace of God, magic, because I'm on a disability. So, you know, I don't have any prospects when I come to ACA. I was ready to die. I was ready to stay on a disability and I was going to hide in this little dark unit downstairs and I wasn't coming out for anybody. So my first few years, I was in grief. I cried every day. I banged my head. I beat myself up. I actually got right down to the core layer of I hate myself. And I realised that if I hate myself, my parents must have hated me and they must have hated themselves because that's what they projected onto me. I started a meeting in Zoom on a Tuesday and then I started another meeting on a Wednesday and I started another meeting on a Thursday. And these weren't meetings. These were study groups without any idea of what we were doing. We had no formats. We just opened the yellow book. Let's do it. We opened the laundry list traits book. Let's do it. Did the red book, chapter 8, over and over and over again. I knew I needed those meetings every day. And the group of New Zealanders that held space for me while every day I was full on grief, not just a few tears, I mean full on grief. I want to kill myself grief, you know, they supported me in that. And it's only last year that I really, really came out of that terrible, terrible grief. When everybody went into lockdown, I was ready to come out of my self-imposed isolation. When COVID happened, all the face-to-face meetings closed and they all jumped on our Zoom room. And I got my nose out of joint. I wasn't used to exposing my face on the camera. I was only used to our little safe group and I really had to change. I had to open my mind. So I stepped back as others stepped forward and I saw in the World Services website an advertisement for Global Service and I thought, oh, wow, that sounds great. I'm a global traveller, you know. I've lived in Japan. I've been to India 5 times, you know. I'll help, you know. And I didn't know what I was up for. And we joined the WhatsApp group. I still didn't know what I was up for. I was full of low self-esteem. And when I found out and started hearing about the different committees, sponsorship, Comline, young adults, you know, all of them, the Australian fellowship, I was a little bit... thought I wasn't worth enough to join. And I wanted to run. I did want to run, but high power kept saying to me, stick at it, you'll be right, stick at it. And as the months passed, the picture of Global came into view and I went, wow, this is amazing. And of course, with COVID, there were so many newcomers. I had learned from day one, 30 odd years ago, that service would be, you know, was important as a recovery tool. And there was another person that was the coordinator for Australia and New Zealand, and I was happy to work with under that person. And then they've resigned and it's just me at the moment. So I didn't know what I wanted to do in Global. I had no idea what my strengths were. I had no idea what I loved. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And as things have evolved, here we are today. And we had a meeting before with the grandparents. I've gotten to know Australian people because remember I was doing my recovery with New Zealand people and I'm living in Australia. So this role has opened up my ACA experience to meet a lot of people in Australia now that are doing the program, which is wonderful. My call is for more Australians to step up to service. Because there's so many different departments. I created a department. I created a department called International Studies because a lot of the study groups were at 2 a.m., especially the Ready, Set, Go. Thank you, Tony. I actually take Ready, Set, Go meetings now in our time zone here in Australia. And I also take study groups, formatted step groups, and we'll be doing laundry list studies. And, of course, when the Loving Parent Guidebook format is released, I'll be straight in there because I can't wait to do that. So my recovery is all about recovery. I didn't come into ACA to make friends or, you know, to get chummy with people. I came in here to get well. I respect everybody that I come across in ACA as an equal. And I don't want to get caught up in the drama. I come from a family of big drama, and I can see drama a mile off, and I don't want to know about it. I think when I first went into global service, I felt that the people that were in global service were there because they want to be. They're not there because they have to be. They're there because they want to be. And I felt that I wasn't working with resistance in global, which is just fantastic to do service and not have to be coming up against resistance. And everybody's in there having a go. And it's a beautiful, beautiful feeling. I just want to touch on trait six, being the eldest of three daughters plus the whole mob of that generation. I looked after the business. I looked after the family. I looked after the cousins. I looked after the kids in the street. I became the parent for emotionally, physically, and not financially, thank God. Because I haven't been really able to look after myself on a financial level. But trait six, I was born a responsible person, and my parents turned that into, I guess, being an adult child, they passed on that as a dysfunctionality. You know, coming into ACA homeless and isolated, self-isolated, you know, I still haven't started a career again, but I'm ready to do that. But trait six, just because, you know, ACA has this trait six of responsibility, it didn't mean, oh, no, I'm not doing service because I'm over-responsible. It meant that I do service so I can learn the balance of being over-responsible because I'm quite good at it. And I spent a whole lifetime caretaking people, looking after people so I wouldn't have to focus on myself. So it is spoken that in ACA service is a recovery tool. Well, what is that? What does that look like, you know? And I'm sure in the big red book we've got what these recovery tools are, but I can only share with you today what I have received from doing service, not on a local, well, yes, I started off on a local level, but even then I was setting up meetings in New Zealand. But on a global level, what have I learned as far as service goes? Firstly, I come out of isolation. Firstly, service brought me out of isolation. It made me communicate with others. It made me also take responsibility. So rather than, oh, no, I'm healing, you know, I took on responsibility of opening meetings. I'm living the program when I'm doing service. I'm living it daily. I knew if I'm to heal, I've got to do this daily. This thinking that got me here was working daily, if not momentarily. By doing service, I'm doing the steps. I'm focusing on the steps. I'm hearing about the steps. I'm dealing with other people that are doing the steps. I made my laundry list traits get triggered, which allows me to work on those laundry list traits and constantly, which is a fabulous thing, because sitting down in that bottom unit down there, I wasn't meeting up with anybody to rub up against to feel these laundry list traits. My family's gone, my job's gone, my son's gone, my home's gone. Everything got taken before I came to this fellowship. You know, I have now, just in a year, gotten skills you know, for my future. So I'm wanting to go on to do webinars and become a coach and have a YouTube channel. And that has come from ACA because I didn't want to even turn my camera on. So I'm actualizing the program by doing this service. One thing is I have to love it. You know, I will admit I don't like admin. Everybody knows that, but I just fuddle along with it, you know, keep it small, don't get too out there with it. but I do love, and what service has done, it's taught me my gifts. You know, I'm reliable. I show up on time. I've got stickability. I'll hang out and keep going. I don't give up. You know, I'm learning compassion. You know, I've got some really great gifts that I wasn't giving myself the benefit for, you know. So I'm going to stop there because I've gone on and on and on, and the time's gone very, very quickly. But the other thing is trusting my higher power. My higher power, since coming to ACA, has told me to leave 3 meetings, which I've done. And every time I listened, I was so scared that I was out of my own, but higher power elevated me up into something better and something more expansive for myself. So I just want to reach out to everybody. If you're in Australia, New Zealand, we need you. It's not hard work. It's very loving. It's very kind. It's our number one motto, gentleness. So, you know, you're not going to get worked hard. If you want to say, just can't cope today, we go, that's all right. Just do the best you can. Just being a part of the team. There's about 6-7 WhatsApp groups. You can just watch the memos go past until you feel confident to pipe up or to go, what's that about? But we're all there to hold you, you know. We're there to hold you. So that's my next goal that High Power's put on my heart, and I've got goosebumps, is a service support team for Australia. And that is what the meeting before was talking about, supporting people that want to do service. And I mean holding their hand for a couple of weeks until they feel confident. So thanks, everyone. Thank you so, so much, Sue. Love, Sue. Love you.
I love you, Monique. Thank you so much for your share. And Monique is a very valued member on the Global Members team. Lots of passion and energy and service calling the heart. Thank you so much. Alrighty, so I'd like to introduce our next panelist, and that is George. And George is from Australia. So George, can you unmute? And we're going to spotlight you next.
Spotlight. That's a shock. In Australia, called Spotlight.
There you go.
It's an outside issue. We won't cover that. My name's George, and I'm an adult child, and I give thanks to my higher power for what's been given, what's been taken, and what I've been left with today, which is a beautiful program. And I am a beautiful person, and I get to meet in meetings like this with beautiful souls as well. And it's a pleasure to be asked by Global Services and Sue B to come and be a panel member. Just a quick background. My father was an alcoholic. My mother was an alcoholic. My father got sober. He became a dry drunk. Sisters were alcoholics and drug addicts, and I grew up 2 streets away from the red light district here in Sydney, and went to work in a lot of NGOs, but never really addressing the work that needed to be done inside. We either marry it, become it, and I married back into the dysfunction, and we had a child very rapidly, very fast, and the marriage went for about 3-4 years and then separated. And then I found myself in a men's support group where they wanted to live in the problem. And then I went by my own free will to a parenting support group course, and I was sitting there and they're teaching us how to love our children going out and how to love our children going in. And I just happened to mention that that my father didn't give me that, and then someone mentioned about ACA, and where I live, I was right in the middle of the triangle of ACA. I had a meeting about 500 metres up the road. I had another meeting about a kilometre away. And then I had a meeting going on about 750 metres away, so there was no excuse. I went to my first meeting, and afterwards a gentleman who I identified with said to me he was going through the same situation. If he was married to himself, he would have divorced himself. Now, I went back to the men's group and I started talking recovery. Don't talk recovery to people who want to stay in the disease. They threw me out and banned me. So I said, don't come back here. So anyway, I started to work the steps and, you know, step one, you know, is how, honesty, openness and willingness. And so anyway, I started to work the steps and my sponsor happens to live just around the corner. So there was no getting away from ACA. and it's amazing with that. Every time I seem to have a problem, he appears walking his dog. So just another tool of breaking the don't speak, don't feel and don't trust rule. So I then attached myself to one of the bigger meetings in Sydney and gave service there and became the secretary or co-secretary. And COVID came along and we had just started a New Hope beginners meeting. We were about 5 weeks into it and that was getting about 25 people and then we're all of a sudden down to five. So we had a group conference and to purchase a Zoom account was $208. And the seventh tradition, we had $209. So the group conscience approved it. We purchased it on Thursday night. And on Friday, less than 12 hours later, they rang and said we couldn't use it. So the next week, we were on Zoom and we had 50-odd people because all the meetings were all of a sudden closing down. So we had a group conscience. And then we allowed other meetings in Sydney to use the Zoom account as well. One of the other members, we were chatting and he said, oh, maybe we should start an ACA club. And I said, oh, I can be the maitre d' and you can be the bouncer. And we were just joking. And my higher power kept piercing my heart to start this, start a lunchtime meeting. So I started the lunchtime meeting just over a year ago, a couple of weeks ago, and we had about five people and didn't want a script. We just had the serenity prayer. We read the daily affirmation. We don't time the shares. We share the time. And off she went. And today that meeting, it's over 5 days. It's one meeting over 5 days under one group conscience, and it gets between 40 and 50 people per day. Each day is looked after by two hosts who are trained up. They have to have good recovery. And so they're trained in Zoom. And so we have 10 hosts, no secretary. The group conscience is the secretary. And this was all new stuff, you know, for people to comprehend. But we got there. From that meeting, we're into our second small meeting only for members of that meeting, ready, set, go. And then from that, we're looking at the steps introduction. of that as well. From that, also that little lunchtime meeting, came the Sydney International Guest Speakers Meeting, and we've had about eight. We record the meeting, and we put it up on our WhatsApp page, and downloads are about 300 people download that. The meeting is running very healthy, and we have a group conscience that slides each month, so every host gets that opportunity to host the group conscience. So next month, it'll be Friday's team will have to host the group conscience. The WhatsApp group, when we looked at it, Bill Gates said, get a lazy person to do a job because they'll find the quickest and the easiest way. And, you know, I'm a bit lazy. And I didn't want to take people's phone numbers and start a phone list. And, oh, God, no, you know. And we'll start a WhatsApp group. Or as I call it, WhatsApp group. And so anyway, we started that. And that has about 280 people. And we use that, and people outreach and they do that. For my own benefit, attending that meeting, I don't know about you, but for me, and it's said in the literature, I think as well, adult children love to buy self-help books, but they never read them. And it's really helped me get through the strengthening my recovery and reading that daily affirmation book every day. It's also by giving service and mixing with people and breaking the don't speak, don't feel, don't trust rule. It's put me in the now. Before recovery, I was crucified between two thieves. Yesterday, the past, which had anxiety, well, not so much anxiety, probably guilt and shame. And then the other thief was the future, which had fear and anxiety. My recovery has been a very slow, like peeling an onion. You know, if you take the first layers, not much tears. And it's actually taken me deeper and deeper inside of myself. You know, I've worked the steps, Tony A steps, the laundry list. I'm looking forward to the Loving Parent book that's coming out. But what I was going to close with was it's allowed me to love myself and to accept myself and to become my own loving parent, who I choose to call God of my own understanding. And that's been done through the fellowship of healthy people. And, you know, there are problems that come along. But today, you know, I can be in the solution and step back into it through the use of Zoom, the telephone, WhatsApp, fellow travellers. And I'm very grateful for that. And it's been able to do it around the world, you know. So I'm very grateful for that. And it's, you know, moved me out of that hell. And it's unlocked the keys of that gently and with humour and respect. And now I'm able to help my daughter start at her parents in recovery meeting. And I'm able to break that bundle that's handed down from generation to generation. So I'm very grateful. And I'm able to be of service to myself through helping and then being able to help and be of service. Thanks very much.
Thank you, George.
Thank you so much, George. And thank you so much for following your heart and following the higher power with your lunchtime meetings and the international speakers and the parents and grandparents meetings. And George was very, very helpful when we brought Ready, Set, Go into Australia, and was phenomenal. So thank you. Thank you so much. Our next speaker is Oriana, and we're going to take the spotlight off you, George. And we're gonna now turn it over to our Oriana. And Oriana was very instrumental in the Unity Day in Australia last year, and very helpful and instrumental in the Ready, Set, Go as well in Australia. So take it away, Oriana. Thank you.
Kia ora, thank you. Thank you, Sue. And yeah, I just want to open up, first of all, ko Oriana Aho, my iwi or my tribe in New Zealand is Tainui and Tamanui in the North Island of New Zealand. And I am currently residing on Gamagul land here in Australia. So my name is Oriana and I'm an adult child. I was born in New Zealand, but I am currently living in Australia, in Sydney. And I just want to acknowledge and say a lot of thanks to the people who have traveled this journey of recovery before me, and who have handed it to me and given me the gift of sobriety that I have today. I'll just quickly share a little bit about my story. So as I identified, I am a Māori woman, so I'm an Indigenous or First Nation New Zealander. And a lot of my transgenerational trauma has been from a loss of identity for me from my native country and language. And today, I am now part of an ACA First Nations group where that healing and that recovery is being restored. And where I'm so, and I can't express, every cell in my body has come home. And I'm so grateful for that because of this program. And I started in ACA here in Australia. So I've been in recovery for 18 years. I started from another program. I hit an emotional rock bottom, just to cut a long story short, where I wanted to die. Like, I was looking for a way out, but I wasn't going to take myself out. And I was praying to God, I've had it. I've had enough and I want to go. Send a big Mack truck and take me. That didn't happen, thankfully. Instead, I went out on I thought was a bit of a relapse, but thankfully it wasn't. But enough for me to be scared, to see that the way that I was coping in that moment was to escape. And I had enough recovery to realize that that wasn't the solution. I was open and I shared with people in my other program how I was feeling. And thankfully, they opened the doors to adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families. I'd never heard of this program before up until then. That was 5 years ago. And as soon as I attended a meeting and I heard the laundry list, and the laundry list identified with the approval seeking and the loss of identity, as I've already shared, and then the over-responsibility, I completely, just to kind of go back a bit, I'm one of nine children. So my mother and father, they had six children. I was the youngest. They divorced and their mum remarried and she has another child. So I have a half sister plus my father remarried and he has two sons. So I have three half siblings. But my mother went through, which I recognize today, is post-traumatic stress from a cot death. So her third child died of SIDS. She was traumatized. And I see that's where the marriage really fell down, because they didn't have the coping mechanisms. They are also adult children. So she relapsed and, well, regressed, I see, into her childhood ways. I basically brought my mother up. I was her mother. We ended up, her and I, so I was the only child that was raised with her. We ended up with her family. Her mother passed away, and then my grandfather was with us, who happened to be an alcoholic pedophile. I was then, which I now understand, was sort of like his wife in a way, without going into too much detail. So I really identified with what's been shared here around that over-responsible. So I grew up really fast, way ahead of my times, which I have a grief in. You know, teenager in a body, but I was like a woman as an adult, living an adult life, which I have a lot of grief and empathy for that young girl, that young teenager that grew up so fast, that I couldn't, for some reason, I couldn't associate. So I was disassociated from all of that until this information, this awareness of trauma, post-traumatic stress, child, so inner child work, all that information became abundant to me 5 years ago. So I cannot express how much I love this program and how it's fulfilled my life, and it's given me, I was crying actually before the panel, this panel came on, and the lady who was dancing, doing Zumba, I think Julia, and her fun cool down song was "This Girl Is on Fire," because I was just like, oh my god, like I am, because of this discovery of this program, I'm like feeling like there's this fire and it's coming, it's like building up and it's getting stronger, and I'm feeling congruent and I'm feeling a connection that I've never had up until discovering recovery in ACA. So I started a group here in Sydney with a couple of other females in the Northern Beaches. That's where I live here in Sydney. We started a group face-to-face. And then I branched out from there because I met some other people who we identify because we're brown and people of colour. We thought there was a bit of information and language that we needed to dive into around our people of colourhood. So we started another group. So I then moved down from the first group I started and went to another group, and still in my local area. And we started a laundry list study group. However, because it was face-to-face and it was quite late on a Thursday night, that, and then my workload changed, eventually that dissolved. But there was this yearning in me that I really still needed to address or work with around my identity stuff, around my ancestry stuff. About maybe less than 6 months ago, I was contacted by a fellow member who mentioned that there was an online, via Zoom, an online group that was started in New Zealand specifically for First Nations. So anyone that was Indigenous, First Nations, so Aboriginal, Cook Islanders, Māori, New Zealand, American Indian, like First Nations people that I may be interested in. So hell yeah, 100% into that. Now an active member of that group. We meet every Thursday online. And just simple things like saying hello in my native tongue, like I opened up Kia Ora, just saying that, it's a resonance, it's a vibration that it's like I'm home. And then hearing other people as well share their story and their experiences growing up with transgenerational trauma and living in the solution, though. Living in the solution has been just another level of self-actualization that is like, oh, it's the fire again, you know, like it's burning and it's awesome. It's giving me the desire to do more, to contribute more. And an earlier speaker mentioned, you know, like what we do, and I'm part of the Sydney Intergroup here. I'm the activities chair, and also vice chair. So for 1 year, I'm kind of like just observing what the chairperson's role is before I would step into the chair for Sydney. But you know, I love it. It's not like, I've got to do service, trudge the happy road of, you know, recovery. It's like, no, I love that I can learn in a safe space where there's autonomy, where there's freedom to make mistakes, where there's freedom to be messy, where there's freedom to cry, where there's freedom to be. This is what this recovery has given me. This space has given me, like I'm saying, the identity that was lost, it's being recovered. And even being invited into share in this convention, you know, I'm just on a walker. You know, I'm going down the river and with my God's guidance through this. And the further I go, you know, sometimes I feel like, oh, I don't have a paddle. I don't know where I'm going. For example, when I did the Ready, Set, Go workshop last year with Sue V and her team, thank you, supporting us to teach us to lead it, but to also teach us here down under on how to run it. And now we're running it because Monique is now running it with George, and you know, and there's obviously future workshops that are becoming available with the Loving Parent. That is so, like, for me, such a pure form of a tribe. You know, it's a pure form of people being selfless to help others be set free from the bondages of whatever the trauma effects have occurred in their lives from growing up in dysfunction. And that the solution is becoming my own loving parent, which I get to see through other people who I'm serving with in recovery, see their recovery and identify to their stories, but also see my voice. And I'll just finish on this, or hear my voice. I believe, I used to believe, right, that I was dumb. I used to believe I was dumb, right, because I couldn't speak up. So what I understand is that due to some trauma that I experienced, and we're talking capital T trauma that I experienced growing up, it affected me. It affected my ability to be able to speak, okay, especially if it was speaking out from the hole, right? I would be too scared. But not only that, I physically couldn't speak. It'd be like a block. That's changed. And the only thing that's changed, I haven't gone to speech therapy. I'm not taking medication. Only thing that's changed is that I found the program of ACOA and the solution. It's a miracle, you know. And today I'm so, like, free. I'm so happy for, and the fact that I can hand this back eventually, God willing, I can hand a new way of living down to the next generation. You know, that is the biggest gift that I could. And I love the parent and grandparent meeting that's available. I'll be showing up to that, as you know, as well. I only knew about that really when I jumped into the previous workshop, but that's awesome. You know, and I thank you. And I'm going to finish on that. So thank you, Sue. I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you.
Kia ora, Oriana.
Kia ora. Oriana, thank you so much for your beautiful share. And I just feel my heart overflowing when I listen to the ancestry and the Indigenous roots. And I thank you for sharing all of that and your experience, strength, and hope. It means a lot. Thank you. All righty, so we'll take the spotlight off Oriana now, and we will move on. And our next speaker, last but never least, is our Tim W. from New Zealand. Tim, we're going to spotlight you now, and you can take it away. Thank you.
Kia ora. My name's Tim, and I'm coming to you from Christchurch, Aotearoa, New Zealand. And I say kia ora, it's a Maori greeting, as in hello. I'm also of the understanding that its meaning goes a lot deeper than that. And kia ora acknowledges people of all nations, all living things, birds, fish, animals, plants, the whole universe. I'm talking about stars, the sun, the moon, the planets, that encompasses everything. Life didn't used to be like that. It used to be about looking good and going nowhere, and alcoholism and workaholism was certainly part of that. So I come to you as a recovering child of dysfunction, recovering workaholic, recovering alcoholic, and the focus on my share here today, and I'm a little bit nervous about this, is that God works in mysterious ways. So I'm coming from a personal place of where unrecognizable to me in early years of recovery, that things were happening in my life that definitely weren't in the direction that I was living, but guiding me towards a rock bottom and a recovery. So really my recovery journey started in about 1992, maybe 93. On the recommendation of my family doctor, I've written some notes here, and I'll refer to those just to try and keep me on course, on track. So my doctor, who had become a friend, I had an automotive electrical business, and he had a Rolls Royce, an older model, and we got to know each other that way. So anyway, his recommendation was that I engage in some psychotherapy, and he warned me that the psychotherapist who he was recommending was an extremely attractive blonde woman, and that had some appeal. I engaged. Very shortly after I agreed to commit to a controlled drinking program of one drink, one quart bottle every 4 hours with food. I was playing social rugby in those days, so that was once a week. I managed to maintain that for a period of 9 months, or about 9 months. And during that time, my health, fitness, and most aspects of my life greatly improved. And I was starting to live life beyond my wildest dreams and without a program. That's not how I grew up. I'd come from a dysfunctional family. So I was really reliant on weekly sessions with a psychotherapist with no other supports, and working in a dysfunctional business and white knuckling aspects of life, emotional aspects of life, and out of my depth anyway. I relapsed, and things very quickly returned to a far worse situation than my commitment prior to that controlled drinking process. I eventually had to sell the business. I had to sell the building, and I'd reneged on a payment repayment repayment program to the IRD, the tax department, and they treated me fairly, very fairly, and I reneged on it and ended up going bankrupt on their petition. Why I'm sharing that is that I didn't have a fellowship. I didn't have a program. I was dependent on one person, a psychotherapist, for real change in my life, and I couldn't maintain it alone. So I said, God works in mysterious ways. So things were looking, I sold the business to my foreman for very little money. I had to sell a business under pressure from the finance, I had a mortgage, pressure from the finance people. And things weren't looking good. I wasn't homeless, but they weren't looking good. A friend of my dad's came and visited me one day and said, hey, are you still looking for a property to rent? And I heard this voice behind me. This is one of these spiritual experiences that I didn't grow. I grew up in a religion, but I had no understanding or acceptance of such things. But I heard a voice behind me say, shut up and listen, or be quiet and listen. And for once I listened. And I listened to what this friend of dad said, and he was offering to rent me a property, a rural property with a couple of houses, various buildings, ponds, streams, wild cattle, wild sheep, for a minimal rental. The deal was that pay a minimal rental. You're free to rent out grazing space, and but just try and keep the dope growers out. That would have affected their insurance policy or insurance premiums. There was about 300 acres or 300 hectares of pine forest, so that was their motivation for buying it. So I agreed, and I had a couple of friends that moved in, and I said to them about my commitment to keep the property as tidy as what was possible, i.e. the dope growers out. And they said, how are you going to do that? And I said, I wasn't going to get a gun. I said, I'm going to do a meditation and ask God for a dog. He said, what sort of dog? I said, the right sort of dog. 2 nights later, in a storm, there's rattle, rattle, rattle at the ranch siders. And the flatmate opened the door. And an Alsatian Ridgeback dog walks into the house and licks me on the face. God works in mysterious ways. Those two people, they were traveling. They moved on. A friend of mine said, I know somebody interested in living a rural life. They work as a business consultant. That appealed. Appealed to my ego anyway. And I met him. I'll call him Robert. He's no longer here. He lives in another dimension now. So he moves, he comes and meets me, and I was certainly impressed with his, you know, he worked in business as a consultant. I was impressed with that. He's had his stuff together, and he said, I'm not home on a Tuesday and a Thursday nights. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I go to AA meetings. I thought, God, he must have had it bad. A couple of weeks later, I come home from my last drinking spree, an absolute blackout. Can't remember our conversation. The next day or the next afternoon, when I finally arise, he says, hey, can you remember our conversation last night? I said, no. He said, do you think you got a problem with the booze? And I said, yeah. And unbeknown to me, my next door neighbour down the road a K, and then another neighbour down the road another K, were all in the fellowship. So on Monday, here am I being driven to my first AA meeting in company of neighbours, and I haven't had a drink since that day. Half of me wanted to be there, half of me didn't. I definitely wanted to minimise the consequences of my drinking. But I did admit that I was an alcoholic, and I immediately got some relief. And so the first 6 months was I enjoyed probably detoxing. I then had to realise that for 27 years I'd been dependent on alcohol. And I had these feelings come up, and I didn't know how to handle it. I thought about taking myself out, and I had a son. I thought, well, I don't care about me, but I do care about him. I couldn't do it. So I talked to my sponsor, and he said, have you ever thought about going to treatment? I said, I'm not that bad, am I? He said, I didn't say that. So long story short, 6 weeks later, I'm in treatment. And I worked hard. I still tried to hold on emotionally to my childhood dysfunction. I was then invited to, I went back to that treatment centre about 10 months later as a reunion. And I was invited to a meeting with senior management. And they said, we'd like to make you an offer. I said, oh yeah, okay. They said, we're looking for somebody to offer an internship for the qualification, and we'd like to give you an option for it, and we will pay you, and we will pay your expenses. God works in mysterious ways. I said that I never saw my career as being an A&D counsellor. They said, no, nor do we. However, we think it'll be good for you. So I did, I committed, and I worked hard. Emotionally, still hanging on to the childhood stuff. The treatment centre was really about working with clients, people, breaking denial and motivating for change. There wasn't any great technique. It certainly wasn't psychotherapy. And some people, some clients, had their last drink on the way there, or drink or drug. So it was hard work. It was a blessing in disguise. I was never homeless or without a car or clothes. I'm just checking some notes here. I qualified at that in that treatment program. I got an American qualification, a NADAC qualification. And I then left and worked in real estate. I'm just going to go back to the treatment center. I consciously stayed out of upper management, and I was aware that I was there for the cause, not the applause. I just got to remind myself of that as ego. Went on to real estate, became a national, for a national real estate company in New Zealand, multinational actually. And qualified as branch manager with 18 months, highly paid position, challenging at time, as you know, greed is great. And some with some training in psychology, and it's used to achieve results with little focus really on self-honesty and integrity. Training was based about what's lawful and unlawful and how to work around matters to minimise exposure. I left that industry after 8 years, 9 years. Went on and sold upmarket retirement apartments. The challenge there was I was highly remunerated for that and they were very nice apartments. But the self-care, in my opinion, was lacking. So I challenged the organisation. I was told that they were really there for the money, not the people. So I moved on from there. Met a recovery friend and he said, how are you doing? And I said, well, I'm sober. I haven't had a drink for now about 26 years. But I said, I'm white knuckling life. He said, oh, mate, you need to go to ACA. I said, I'm not going there. And I saw him a couple of weeks later and he said, how are you doing? And I said, no, nothing's changed. And he said, well, I told you what you need to do. I saw him a third time. God works in mysterious ways. About a week later, he said, have you been to ACA yet? And I said, no, but I'm going on Saturday. And I sort of knew that he was telling the truth. You know, he owned it and I'd had enough time to process it. I went to my first meeting about 5 years ago. I heard the traits read out at the meeting. I thought, could relate to them all. I felt welcome. I'd been around recovery, you know, 12-step programs. And I started to work on my childhood. In the AA program, I'd certainly worked on all the dynamics and the lying and the cheating and the petty thefts and the womanizing since age 13. I'd worked on all that, but I'd avoided the childhood trauma. So I started to work on that. Now, remember my dad saying to me that he suspected that my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, had suicided. He's very respectfully told me in my early AA recovery and prior to him passing over. I asked my mother about this sometime later, and she became extremely angry and very defensive. I left it alone, and that was part of the reason why I didn't want to look at this childhood trauma and the aspects of it that had caused so much problem, although I didn't really understand it. So a wee while ago, through some circumstances, God works in mysterious ways, I end up in a stage play in another city that talks about, or the theme was, incest and suicide. And there, the main character is a woman trying to keep a secret. And I saw my mother. I go, wow, now I know what I'm dealing with. I saw it on stage. I'm sweating. There must have been a puddle under my chair. And I'm going, wow, now I realise my mother's behaviour. I saw it. Something changed that day. Something changed around my heart. I knew then what I was forgiving my mother for. Up till then, there was so much insanity. There was so much craziness. I didn't actually know. I couldn't recognize it. What was I forgiving her for? The whole bloody lot. Life changed. I then went on to do a fourth and fifth step in ACA and cleaned that up as best I can. This is of recent times in the last 12 months. I've tried really hard in my own way since teenage years to control my life. I never realised that I'd always had a higher power. It didn't feel right. It wasn't okay to live life as my true self. I developed this persona of a false self of trying to look good and realized I was going nowhere. In fact, one of my friends gave me a nickname in prior to early recovery of Flash Johnny. I said, hey, on the third time I heard it, I said, what's this Flash Johnny mean? What's this all about? She said to me, looking good, going nowhere. And that was the truth. I resented hell out of her for saying it. That was the truth. I was just trying to push all this stuff away. And I understand about shadows and shadow behaviors, or a little bit about it today. But I can say that the program of AA, the program of ACA, and the fellowship, I still attend both those fellowships, has worked for me beyond my wildest dreams. At times it hasn't been easy. At times I've had experience of living life beyond my wildest dreams, and no regrets. Thank you, and I feel privileged to be here. Kia ora.
Thanks, Tim. Kia ora.
Kia ora. And thank you, Tim, so much for your share. It was beautiful. What we're going to do now is we're going to do our closing usually takes about 5 minutes. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to do the closing. And if our panelists would be gracious and stay on, we have another 10 minutes before the fun activity starts. So we can take some questions if anyone has any questions for our panelists. So Megan, can you bring up the PowerPoint for us? Thank you. And a personal thank you of gratitude for all of our panelists. Thank you. Volunteering for service. Service in ACA is a recovery tool that strengthens your program. We've been talking about that, but it has to be the right kind of service. It has to be the service that calls your heart and that you can utilize for your program. And so it's a mutual giving back, and it's a mutual giving back to others, and it's a mutual giving to yourself and your inner child. You can help carry the message and make a difference to another ACA member's life by signing up as a volunteer. We've got service in global that Monique has been talking about in all of the countries outside of US, Canada, and Europe. And Megan, if you could put the email links and the web links into the chat, I would really appreciate it. And we also have service in other areas of WSO, such as Calmline. We also have areas of service in so many areas. So take a look at it. And there's another link there that you can look at it. Just explore it. If it doesn't call your heart, don't do it. But if you see something that calls your heart, explore it. Ask some questions. I know that we need more volunteers in Australia and New Zealand. We need country service teams to help us with all sorts of things, from literature distribution to studies to sponsorship, ACA recovery support, service support. And lastly, regions. That's something that is new coming out. And I think that would be something that would be very beneficial for Australia and New Zealand. So let's start having those conversations. But we need to have people standing up and saying, hey, I want to be one of those that has a conversation. So that'll be wonderful. So keep the conversation going. And Megan, if you can also put Global Members at Adult Children on the chat, that would help as well. And next slide. And the next slide will come. Yeah. Oh, we just lost the slide. She'll bring it right back.
Sorry, I'm having technical difficulties.
Progress, not perfection. It's all good. It's all good. Thank you so much. So our seventh tradition states every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. We ask that you consider making a seventh tradition contribution at this link. And Megan, when you have a moment, you can post that on the chat. And you'll find a variety of ways that you can contribute. For the first time ever, you're going to be able to contribute in your local currency. Isn't that wonderful? I'm in Canada, so I have to guess how much money I'm contributing, because it isn't US dollars, it's Canadian dollars. We can also now do it on our credit cards and PayPal. So we're going to have lots more options that are going to be very, very helpful. And for the very first time, I'm very proud to say that we also have a special fund you can donate called International Literature Scholarship. If you want to help people in emerging countries, for us to support in getting books to their meeting groups, help us and donate to the International Literature Scholarship Fund. And that is just brand new this year. It was just ratified in our annual business conference last weekend. Thank you. Next slide. I've asked George to read the promises. So George, can you unmute and read the promises for us?
Certainly. The ACA promises. Promise number one, we will discover our real identities by loving and accepting ourselves. Promise number two, our self-esteem will increase as we give ourselves approval on a daily basis. Promise number three, fear of authority figures and the need to people please will leave us. Promise number four, our ability to share intimacy will grow inside of us. Promise number five, as we face our abandonment issues, we will be attracted by strengths and become more tolerant of weaknesses. Promise number six, we'll enjoy feeling stable, peaceful, and financially secure. Promise number seven, we will learn how to play and have fun in our daily lives. Promise number eight, we will choose to love people who can love and be responsible for themselves. Promise number nine, healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. Promise number 10, fear of failure and success will leave us as we intuitively make healthier decisions, choices. Promise number 11, with the help of our ACA support group, we will slowly release our dysfunctional behavior. And promise number 12, gradually with our higher power's help, we will learn to expect the best and get it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, George. People are asking, of course, we are audio taping all of our workshops. And so there's the link for it. And it'll be on the adultchildren.org. It'll take us a few weeks to get the audio tapes all done. So be patient with us, but they will be there. The next two sessions are exciting. We've got the Far East panel, China, Japan, Singapore, and Taiwan. And we have people who are going to be interpreting for the Japanese and interpretation for Chinese. So it'll be done in English, and it's quite exciting. We look forward to seeing you there. That's another global members sponsorship for the workshop. And if you want to dance, the Far East is in this room, so you don't have to go anywhere, just stay here. If you want to dance and go to the dance party, that is in the Lavender Room, which is a separate link. And you would have received that as part of your invitation to join the AWC. If you want to look at the other exciting workshop schedules, you can see them, www.acaworldconvention.org. There's many workshops coming up. I know that it's very late and sometimes later on when it's morning over in North America. But take a look at the schedules. Everything's going to be audio taped, so you won't miss a thing. But we have many more workshops that are quite exciting. Next on our slide, we're going to do the closing. So I want to thank everyone who shared today, the panelists. Thank you so much, Megan, for being a wonderful tech host. And for all of those whose service helped to make this worldwide ACA World Convention come together, it takes a global village. It takes a global village to do these things. Please join me in closing our meeting with the ACA Serenity Prayer in whatever language or way that calls your heart. And we will stay on for a few minutes after if there are any questions. And before the next fun break, I'm not sure which fun break we're having, but we'll announce that too. So all of our panelists, if you can unmute yourselves and let's say the ACA Serenity Prayer together, and that will be the next slide. So taking a deep breath now. Monique, do you want to lead it this time?
Sure. So God of your understanding, higher power,
Grant us the serenity,
to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change, the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much. Great job. And we'll stop screen sharing. And if anybody wants to stay on for a few moments and has a question, raise your hand. And when we see your hand, Megan will unmute you. Megan, I see a hand, and Paul has it. There he is.
I am Paul, adult child, and fantastic to be part of this service meeting and listen to all the wonderful work that's going on behind the scenes. I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul. And do you have any questions, or just it was a beautiful thank you? Thank you. Does anyone else have a comment or a question as we're waiting for a few minutes? We can take that now.
That's all good. Just a reminder that service is a recovery tool, and so this fellowship works a little bit differently to the other fellowships. We really will, because we understand that we go into isolation and our self-esteem is so affected, we get that. We get that. So some people have said, I'm not in ACA long enough, I can't do it, I'm not good enough. But that's all the more reason, because we'll hold your hand, you know, and that'll give you the confidence to just keep expanding, you know, be out of isolation, I guess, yeah. So we're there for you. No one's going to put any pressure on you, because we know in this fellowship how hard that is, you know. That's all I can say.
Thanks, Monique. Yeah, and we'll just chat, and if any of the panelists would like to, you know, say how you're feeling right now, or if you've got a comment to share. I can tell you that last year I was here at the 2020 online, and we were at around the same time period, and we were doing Global Beyond Borders. By the way, they're on at 4 a.m. Eastern time. and they were at 2 a.m. Eastern time. And every time we do our workshops, no matter what, I meet so many beautiful souls, and I hear so many beautiful stories, and painful stories and joyful stories. And it makes it.
Can you just add a bit about next year, if anybody wants to put on they go about that? Yeah,
we're going to be talking about it in the closing, but let me do that for a few moments. And Megan, if you can look for Adelina, and I'm not sure if it's Julie, our fun team, we'll need to raise them up to the panelists. While I'm doing that, is we are going to be doing it in the closing ceremonies, but we are going to do 2022 in San Francisco. So if anybody can travel, hopefully COVID's over. But for the very first time, we're going to have a hybrid. We're going to do online and face-to-face, around the clock, around the world, and we're looking for online partners. So if anyone would like to help us and coordinate this would be wonderful. I always say global members never sleeps. Why it never sleeps? Because when one of us goes to bed, another person gets up. And so it's the same thing with our convention. When one group of country goes to sleep, the other will wake up. And so we need lots of support in order to make it happen. So please think about that. Go to globalmembers@adultchildren.org, and Monique can probably put that email in again. And the other thing is very exciting. If you do that online partnering, we also are looking for a bid in WSO. We're going to take the World Convention and the Annual Business Conference outside of the US. It happens once every 4 or 5 years. They're looking at 2023 and 2024. And wouldn't it be fun to go to New Zealand? Wouldn't it be fun to go to Australia? But you know what? We got to have the service in order to make that happen. And so something to think about. We'll certainly be talking about it from a global members committee with all of the groups in Australia and New Zealand to see, is there an interest? If there isn't, that's fine. If there is an interest, then we'll help support everybody and anybody that would like to do that. I can tell you that I actually did that in 2018 in Canada, and it was life-changing. My recovery like sped up like 10 years. I was triggered like crazy, by the way. And I had to work my program. And but I met so many people around the world. And I was trying to get it to be online streamed. At that time, it just wasn't possible. And I kept at it. And we finally got it in 2020. So really thrilled about that. We see a hand. And it's from Annie. Annie.
And also, Sue, there's a question in the chat box. Can we have some more information about Ready, Set, Go?
Yes. Okay. So let's have Annie come up. And Megan, can you make sure that she can talk? And Ready, Set, Go, we're doing international studies. So Monique, you can pop that email in again, international studies. Monique is running international studies for Ready, Set, Go, as well as 12-step studies. And I think in August, we're going to be doing laundry list studies. And eventually, we're going to do loving parent studies. And for Australia, one of the things we do is partner with our countries and our groups. And we started the Ready, Set, Go in Australia. And Oriana was part of that. Lawrence was part of that. George was part of that. So you can be talking with the Sydney Intergroup because they were the ones that partnered with us at the time on that. We also have weekly 6 weeks with Tony in the US, and the time zone sometimes doesn't work. So, but you can check it out. It will be on the events page at adultchildren.org. Take a look at that. And Ready, Set, Go is a gentle introduction to our ACA 12 steps. And it's also a refresh for anybody who's done the 12 steps. It's just a re-energizer. And it also includes an inner child exercise. We're almost getting into fun, but Annie, let's answer your question or comment, and then we'll see where our fun people are. Annie?
Thanks. Just a quick comment. Tim didn't say he's actually the vice chair.
Oops. Can we unmute Manny? Annie got muted somehow, asked to unmute. Sorry, Annie, I'm not sure what happened. Zoom can be tricky sometimes. Oops.
Sorry, am I still on?
Yeah, you're back again. Yes. I don't know what happened. Go ahead.
Typical, I got a phone call. So Tim is the vice chair of the New Zealand Intergroup, and Mikhail Kay, who's doing tech for him, who you won't see, is the treasurer, and I'm the secretary of the New Zealand Intergroup, and we're really keen on people getting involved in service at the New Zealand level, as well as with global members as well. So just wanted to put that out there, and you can reach us at adultchildren.nz@gmail.com. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Annie. And if you could pop, I don't know if you can pop it into the channel, but Nick will probably have it. If you could pop it in the channel.